Edge of the Headlights podcast. My name is Rob, and sitting across from me complaining is Marty.
I'm always complaining.
How are we doing tonight, Marty?
Yep,
that's been, it.
Well, pretty much explains it all. Sums it up.
Yeah. Nice weather we got out here. It's snowing finally.
Right. So and it's supposed to be like super nice again next week. So it really is kind of pointless.
Yeah, it's going
to
flood. So
it's pointless.
Well, tonight
I'm on higher ground. I don't care.
I'm on higher ground than you. So if I flood, we're all SOL.
Right.
Well, tonight we don't have any of our normal little where I complain about scientists not being smart. Tonight we actually have Chris Barrera from Bigfoot, South Dakota, and we're doing an interview with him. How you doing tonight, Chris?
I'm doing great. On this very Valentine's Day, I guess.
Yeah, it is Valentine's Day. You guys can tell we're recording, so we have no significant others.
Right. Well, yeah. I do, but we've been together long enough that neither one of us cares. We're just like, happy Valentine's
exactly.
Day.
Exactly.
Yep, see ya.
Yep. We're all adults here. We're not some love-struck 21-year-olds.
Right.
Yeah. I was having a great day until, you know, I was watching the parade Kansas City because I'm a massive fan.
Oh,
and
okay.
Until the tragedy happened.
Yeah, that's crazy. Did you hear about that?
No, man. I have been out of loop with everything today. That's my hometown.
Well, they
man,
went to their Super Bowl parade, the right. Kansas Chiefs. Well, there was a pew-pew there. Somebody thought it would be really smart to do that.
Oh, well, it is Kansas City, man. Yeah. I mean, like I said, it's my hometown. Yeah. We left for a reason. But yikes.
Yeah, I just want to. Yeah, send out prayers to them, but that's not why we're here. Talking about Bigfoot.
Yeah. So we're going to start off with the most obvious question to start this interview off. How did you get involved, or what brought you into looking for this creature? I know that exists.
Okay. Well, long, long ago, back in the early 1900s, back in the 90s, I joined the military. You know, originally from Mission, South Dakota. And I joined him after the military. I went into college and got recruited out of college to become a police officer. While I'm doing my duties, I'm retired, by the way, by now. I should have been, but I occasionally would get these calls and, you know, people reporting Bigfoot or some big thing looking in their window and stuff like that. And I never really thought about because I hunted all my life. I was in the woods all my life. And I'm like, that's interesting. I want to see what this actually is. But I do remember from my childhood, my grandfather telling me, you know, when the lights come on, street lights come on, you get inside because, you know, the hairy man, we call it Hishma in Lakota, Hishma man. And it's the hairy man that would snatch you. So, you know, we thought it was just a thing to scare us and all doing that thing. And my grandfather from Oregon, he was a logger up there in Oregon. He told me stories later on after, you know, I started this stuff. I asked him about it, and he told me about a lot of things happened at his logging camps. So in the meanwhile, I'm, you know, answering these calls. You know, I answered one call where this lady had reported some monkeys on her roof. And at that time, it was during the time of, you know, methamphetamine. I'm like, here we go. We get another person hallucinating. But when we get there, the guy answered the door with a shotgun, you know, and I noticed all the shot shells laying around the front. And I'm like, what's going on? He said, hey, Bigfoot was just out here. I mean, something was running on the roof and he went outside and he, you know, shot around in the air. And he said, right next to one of his junked out cars. This thing stood up and it had to been about 9-10 foot tall. And I was like, yeah, whatever. You know, I really didn't get into that, but I just told him, I said, put the gun down, blah, blah, blah. But you could tell they were feared. You know, they're really scared. And I used to answer calls to this one particular place south of Rosebud. But she's kind of on the edge of the timber reserve. Half of Rosebud is plains, you know, cornfields, stuff like that. Mm-hmm, and it starts getting hilly. Then eventually it turns into massive canyons, you know, sort of like the Black Hills, but no mountains. It's just kind of inverted. It looks flat, but it'll go way, way, way down, you know.
Yeah.
Really good hunting grounds. So, you know, and she would report somebody peeking in her window. And the time I went there, she said something, you know, big hairy man was peeking through the window. I kind of debunked that because when I came around, you know, I was scared. I didn't know what to expect. You know, I had my AR-15 out and spotlight and walked around her house and I actually ran into an elk. And if you look at an elk, you know, in the dark, it looks like just a person standing there, a real tall person. So I kind of debunked that and I just kind of like moved on from there. In the furtherance of my career, I became a criminal investigator and got, you know, labeled as a special agent doing major crimes. And you know, we partnered up with the FBI and marshals, whoever. And the first contact I ever had was I was got called to a fatality accident is a place called Grass Mountain Road. They call it Crazy Horse Canyon, but it's just a scenic river view drive. But somebody, you know, crashed and ultimately they passed away and they called me to investigate. When I get on scene, it usually takes me about an hour to 2 hours to make sure I get all my ducks in a row. In the meantime, I usually tell the ambulance or the tow truck or whoever if they want to go do, you know, go to town. The town's not spot 6-7 miles away. It's if they want to go get something to eat or whatever, but I'm going to be here. And they did, took my offer. And there was an accident reconstruction guy, Big Jody. And I call him Big Jody because he's 6'8". And he was doing the reconstruction of the scene. And meanwhile, we did all that, you know, I did all, took all my pictures and, you know, gathered whatever evidence I needed. And we were standing on the road. His car was parked, you know, along the edge of the road. And then if you go not even a foot off the edge of the road, it goes straight into the trees down towards the river. And my car was parked in the middle of the road. And we're between the cars and it was so quiet, you know, it was a hot summer night, about 2-3 in the morning. And the only thing I can remember specifically was how the AC kicks on in your car while it's running. And we're sitting there comparing notes to make sure we have everything ready. And when all of a sudden this thing just roared, I mean, it just screamed and roared at us. And I'm like, I look at him and I said, what the heck is that? And it kind of like, you could feel it, you know, through your body, if you know what I mean. I mean, you feel like if you ever go to a circus or a zoo and you hear the lions and they're roaring, that's what it felt like. And I felt it through my bulletproof vest. And I'm like, holy smoke. I mean, that thing was close. I mean, it was so loud that, it freaked us out. I mean, I literally just put my pad down and went to my trunk, grabbed my AR-15. And I'm like standing there. Like,
I think it would have grabbed something bigger.
And at that point, my flashlight was dying. So it's like you have, you know, the police cars with the spotlight on the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And we couldn't angle it where that sound was coming from. And it did that for about like maybe 5-6 minutes. And then it got quiet for about a minute. And then it did it again. But this time it was across the river. And I'm like, it was kind of getting a little further away, or maybe, I don't know if it was, there was two of them, I don't know. But that thing really, you know, when it roared and screamed and moaned, you know, it just, you know, I've never heard anything like it. Okay, the people come back, you know, the ambulance, the crew comes back, and they, excuse me, they, we tried to tell them what was going on, because they never did when they were there. And it kind of freaked us out. Several months down the road, in the meantime, I was, you know, I'm a hunter, like I said. Me and another cop had gone out to get one of my trail cameras that I left for part of the summer and just wanted to replace the card and, you know, check it out and see what was on it, because I was actually hunting elk at that time. And we got out there, and right when I touched the camera, you know, it's on a boonies in that same area, you know, and we looked it up. It's only 3.1 miles from the actual where we got roared at. And as soon as I touched the camera, the same noise, the same scream, everything. And it was down, coming from down in the creek bottom. And we both looked at each other and said, I heard that before. I don't know what that is. And it scared my partner so bad that, you know, we had guns on us, but he was like, no, we're done hunting for the day. You know, I literally, instead of changing the car, I just grabbed the camera off the tree and they would get out of here.
All right, can I pause for a second? Can I pause you for a second?
Yeah, sure.
I have a question about that incident. Marty knows I'm bad for this. When you had that, whatever it was, let's say Bigfoot roar at you, how did you feel? Did you feel like you need to leave, or did you do anything weird that was not normal?
No, me, if a lot of people who know me, especially when, you know, I'm wearing a gun and I'm like, hey, what is that? I mean, but it just like kind of stunned us that I was like, oh, we need to check this out. But, you know, either direction off the road, you're going to get into thick trees and canyons. And so where the scream came out was above us. And so that's why we try to use the spotlight to look and see what the heck that is. I mean, I heard cougars, I heard bears, I heard a lot of things, but I never heard that before. And I was like, I mean, Bigfoot didn't even cross my mind at all. I mean, it just, you know, kind of stunned us, but it scared my partner who's 6'8". He's like, no, I want to get out of here.
The reason I wanted to ask that question is because we had an interview from a guy up in Red Lake, Minnesota, and it's our wild, weird wood incident. And he had something, yeah. He didn't know what it was. And it made him, basically him and his buddy were out grouse hunting, same scenario, two people with firearms. And it ended up where they both just lowered their gun, and it made it, the sound made him feel like they should go away and walk away. And that's what they did.
Oh yeah. I can see that. Yeah. I could see that. But you know, obviously we're on a crime scene and there's no way that was going to happen.
Yeah.
You know? But we both, he had a shotgun and I had a, you know, an AR-15 that we got out of our vehicles, and we just stood there and we had our alley lights on, everything surrounding us. So, but we could hear it way up there, and it had to have been about at least over 100 yards away, you know, but it was so loud that anything you hear, and I've done a lot of Bigfoot outings in that area, you could be a quarter mile, a mile away, and you could hear the river running just silently. You know, it gets so quiet down in there. But as we move on from there, I was actually out on a stakeout with my partners in the FBI. We're sitting there, you know, watching this house in somewhere South Dakota, because I did belong to the Northern Plains Drug Task Force at that time, too. And we're sitting there listening to Art Bell. I don't know if you guys remember Art Bell. Yeah. From the Coast to Coast.
The Godfather.
Yeah. Because back then, radio stations were, you know, after 10 o'clock, there's nothing.
Yep. And usually so our bell didn't show up to like 1 in the morning.
Yeah, right. Like 11 o'clock.
Yeah, 1 in the morning. Yep. So we was listening to that, and the subject was Bigfoot, and I really wasn't paying attention. You know, we're just sitting there shooting the breeze and this and that. And that scream came on the radio.
Oh.
You know, that howling, you know, that noise. And it's just like, you know, how your hair stands up. And I'm like, that's the sound we heard, you know. Oh, wow. And I ended up contacting the partner, both of them, and I told them to listen to that segment. And they said, yep, that confirmed it. So that had to have been a Bigfoot.
Wow.
So ever since then, I started getting really good curiosity over it, you know. Just thinking, you know, that should be out there, you know. You know, in my profession, I hunt humans, you know, this and that. I said, hey, wouldn't it be a good idea to go check these things out, you know, and tell you the truth, I don't know what I'd do if I did come across one, you know. I just wanted to document just for investigative purposes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
So in the meantime, me and there was a retired game warden. He was still working at that time, but. We kind of got together and said, hey, let's go start doing this. And I really didn't get involved until, like, you know, this incident happened in like in the late 90s. And so, right around 2007, after all these incidents have occurred, one of the rangers that is on the team right now, there's actually two retired detectives, myself and another cop, and a few more other people that are involved. That go out and do these things, you know, and we take our investigation as far as a law enforcement perspective of gathering evidence rather than, you know, like people from finding Bigfoot doing this and that and that, you know.
Right.
We do sort of like a crime scene, you know, because we get a lot of reports of people and we try to get to where we get, you know, try to confirm their thing or debunk their story. I mean, we're not in the business of debunking, but, you know, we just try to figure out what it is, you know.
No, it sounds like you have a very interesting pastime.
Right.
Yeah. And I forgot to mention to the listeners, we're only 3 hours away from you. We're in Watertown.
Right.
We're like 3 hours
County, yeah.
Well, where are
no,
you?
No, actually, where are you? I'm located right now in Blackhawk, in the Black Hills.
Oh,
so we're like, five, 6 hours.
Away from me, yeah. Yeah. But even though in the state, we're statewide, we're not that far.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's just a, you know, just a nap away, I guess.
Right. Pretty much.
No.
It's... Yeah. Ever since I retired, I moved out of there and I came out to the Black Hills. So it's closer because after I retired, I got into archaeology. And that was another passion of mine, but it gave me a chance to go out and walk the fields and do this and that and do Bigfoot at the same time.
You know? Oh, yeah. Heck yeah.
Paid for it by the,
and maybe find a
paid
dinosaur.
For it by the companies. And, yeah, exactly. And actually worked for the Forest Service for 1 year just so I could get out in the Black Hills and have access to where nobody else has access.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's really nice.
And it was... I tell you what, I'd probably never do that again because I got tired of walking up and down, up and down, walking over dead trees, man.
Oh, yeah.
But it's funny, most of our listeners, I don't know how many we have, but the Black Hills are not mountains. They're just hilly, but there's a lot of valleys. And it's like, if you go from Rapid to another town, it says it's 3 miles away, but it takes you 30 minutes to get there because you got to go snake your whole way around the valley.
Up in the... Yeah, and with all the shale rock and everything, just making it more slippery and more deadly.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was a fun time, but, you know, I just got tired of it. Yeah, I wasn't scared. I was scared of mountain lions because they told us we couldn't carry your firearms, but I had my Marine K-bar with me, and I had a stick I made into a spear just in that case I ran into a mountain lion.
Heck yeah.
But I was too tired even if mountain lion attacked me. I didn't care because it was just repetitive work. Repetitive walking the same hills. Oh,
man.
Well, it's not the same hills, but the terrain. You know, there's no glory in fields.
It's just like repetitive. I was used to.
Yeah.
Pancake.
Yeah, that's crazy, though. Yeah, no, at that point, you're just like, no, you know what, Kat? You want to earn it. It's fine. I'm just going to lay here. It's good. Just... do what you got to do. I'm done working today anyways.
So I have to ask this question. Would you say that you get more reports from, I'm just going to say this, white people or First Nations people? Who would you say gives
actually,
more reports?
Probably both.
Really?
Probably both. Yeah. I do get a lot of, since I got a lot of time and know a lot of people in Rosebud and Pine Ridge areas, I do get a lot of reports out here, Deadwood, and mostly from tourists.
Oh, okay.
You know,
oh,
when they come through and they have a camping story, like here's one story that Texas Ranger had called me, and him and his dad were out by in the tailwaters of Pactola.
Okay.
And they were both shore fishing, and his dad got tired and went back to the vehicle. And I don't know if anybody's who's never been there, but if you're in that parking lot, you're just looking straight up at mountains. Yep. If you just, you know, lay back. And that's what he did. He ate a little bit. He laid back and he couldn't sleep for some reason. He said something. He caught something. His dad caught something out of the corner of his eye on top of one of these cliffs. And it was watching his son fish. And his son was fishing for about, he watched it for about 20 minutes.
Jeez.
And he described it as a kind of vanilla color, grayish. He called it a gorilla. That it was sitting there peeking at him, and it would peek at his son.
Wow.
Going back and forth. And he watched him, and when his son came back, the Texas Ranger, when he came back to see his dad said, we need to go. Let's go. You know, they left. And he didn't tell that story until they were actually on the plane back to Texas.
Oh, wow.
And so he looked on the internet and found my phone number, you know, which is under Bigfoot South Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me that story. And he was reluctant to tell me, but once he found out I was prior law enforcement, you know, retired law enforcement, he told me everything. He said, you can use my story. I don't care. But if my dad says he's seen something.
Right.
Yeah, he's seen something.
The Leos out there, I know a few Leos here myself in Watertown and our state troopers and that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I hand out my cards and that, but I think, no offense against any Leos, but I think they're more scared to say that. I know they have to have seen stuff. They just don't want it. I said, you can remain anonymous, but I don't think I have the gutzpah to like for him to trust me. I actually know one guy
who
played paintball with him, and I know he's seen some stuff because he asked me really weird questions. because I was known as the weird guy among our group of friends. And he won't tell me. And I'm like, come on, dude. You remain anonymous. I ain't going to say what it is or who you are.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Because I know a lot of troopers, especially in the Chamberlain area, Lynn area. I worked with a lot of them during certain events, you know, over my career. And in being on the task force, we make contact with all of them. And I spread the word back then that, you know, I'm interested in Bigfoot. I actually had an office at the FBI in Pierre, and I asked them, and I said, everybody has these conspiracy theories where, you know, you guys hide Bigfoot and all this stuff. And all I said is, you got the commission just like I do, look it up. And I couldn't really find anything. Geez, you know? And so they don't have any, really anything, what, you know, I know.
Right.
So, I mean, back, I don't know if you guys remember in the paper, they, had this false report out that the School of Mines had a body of a Bigfoot and FBI was involved. And that was just a big hoax.
I don't think I ever heard that.
That's the first thing I asked. Yeah, that happened like in, I want to say early 2000s, maybe. If you Google it, you'll be able to find out.
If it was early 2000s, I was not around. I'll say that.
Right.
Early 2000s, I was not around. I'll explain it off air where I was at.
Yeah, that's pretty wild, though, because, I mean, you don't hear a lot of stories out of South Dakota, but there are a lot when you end up actually running into different people.
Looking, yes. I get a lot of stories, believe it or not, from the East River.
We need to stop here a second. I originally contacted you over a year ago, and I sent you a book I kind of wrote that sent it to you.
Yeah.
And I know this, since you mentioned East River, I'm going to bring up Secha Hollow. And I asked you about that.
That's one story. Yeah.
Okay.
That's the hunter story.
Go ahead. I have not heard it from Al. Just please tell us a story.
Yeah, it was a couple of years ago. It had been like 3 years ago. During hunting season, it was the opening weekend of hunting season. And, of course, South Dakota get heavy snow. And I got contacted by this this guy who was out hunting by Secha Hollow. And him and his son had just got to that area, just unpacked their stuff and started wanting to walk one of these draws. They didn't get 15 feet, you know, 15 yards from their truck when, you know, the father turned over and looked, and there was this creature standing there looking straight at him. And he just told the son, turn around. No, we're going, we're done for the day, you know, and he was shook up about it. And he ended up going back with some friends and getting a couple of tracks, but it was snowing at that time. So it just really didn't, you couldn't really tell,
mm-hmm.
you know, from where the tracks were, but it kind of scared him enough that he said he ain't going to go hunting this season. he's just going to eat his deer tag for the year, you know?
No, I got a story. I want to ask you a couple questions. We won't talk about, I got a possibility of something in Secha Hollow. We'll talk about it off air. Sorry, listeners, but this can't be mentioned on air.
Yeah.
So, but you're talking about the Black Hills and that. You've been to Needles, right? Needles and all that?
Yes. Oh, yes.
That is I've driven through that, and that's just beautiful and very rugged country out there. And it's kind of weird to think about it because it's like nothing. It's just these rock formations and everything. Have you heard any reports of that? Any reports out there in that area?
Yeah, actually, this summer, me and a guy that just moved here from, I think it was from New Jersey, he was heavily into Bigfoot, so we decided to go out and go to this Custer State Park and spend a few hours out in the dark there, and then we went to Needles to the top. And when we got to the top, you know, you could look over, and it's just flat land. You could see, you know, the city lights from probably all the way to Nebraska. You know, that's how high up we were.
Yep.
But we really couldn't hear anything because the wind just kept picking up, and all just hear like the wind through the pines and stuff like that. And it just was, it was kind of creepy, you know, because he would walk out, no lights, and just sit there and listen. And the only thing they kept telling him was, we got mountain lions out here, and you know, if they're hungry, they're going to attack you, you know, this and that. But, you know, we had some interesting coyotes that one of them sounded, and I think I got that recorded. But one of them sounded like it wasn't a coyote, you know, because he had this coyote collar, and to set them off. And he did that one time, and coyotes out of everywhere. Just, you know, it was a locator call, and it just started coming, but one of them didn't sound like a coyote. It sounded like somebody hollering. Yeah, oh, yeah. It was just little hollering, a little too longer than a coyote.
Well, have you ever heard, since you've been out there, you've done a lot more field research than me and Marty has even thought about doing.
Right.
Have you ever heard, like, they always say about the owl that doesn't sound like an owl? Have you ever heard that before?
No. Of many night operations we've done, you know, we've heard owls, but we actually saw them, you know. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, yeah, because you can pretty much flash them. You'll see them in a tree.
Yeah.
But I've never heard, you know, like one time, you know, I was doing research with this other guy, you know, in Nebraska. And we heard the, what is it, the barred owl?
Yeah.
And there was a group of them. And I swear to God, it sounded like a bunch of monkeys. Oh, wow. And so we researched it, and that's what they do. And, you know, there's owls on record doing that same thing. And I freaked out. I said, oh, man, there's a whole group of, you know, Sasquatches here, you know, a whole group of Bigfoot and all. And they were just owls. They were owls.
Owls messing with it.
Oh, yeah.
So I have a question. This is your opinion. Do you think that the Bigfoot that are in South Dakota are the same species as the ones that are in the Pacific Northwest, or are they a different species?
I think they migrate, you know, I think these are from like Canada, I believe.
Okay.
And I think they follow, I think they follow the Missouri River, because I get reports all the way up from, you know, way up in North Dakota along the river, and it's always down through Standing Rock, you know, through Little Eagle,
yep,
down through Selby. I got a lot of reports of Selby, Lower Brule, Chamberlain, you know, near Platte. And I got a couple of reports from Fort Randall area, the Fort Randall Dam area, and mm-hmm. south of there. And the further south you go into Iowa, in which they have a team down there in Mason, Nebraska, which, you know, I retired out of a Winnebago tribe there at the end of my career. And right south of Winnebago, Nebraska, is Mason, Nebraska. It's the home of the Umaha people. And they actually have a really, really good, great Sasquatch squad there. Hmm. They're called Res Sasquatching Community.
Is that?
And they have a good team.
The Umaha people, or is that the group that was actually have? I want to swear to God, they were on Tubi. They had actually did a movie, like a documentary type thing that was on Tubi. Is that the same guys?
I believe so. Yes.
Okay. Okay. I know who you're talking
about. With Barry Webster and them.
Yep.
And I think Bigfoot Odyssey. Odyssey did a show with them. And Cariano was a good, you know, I didn't get a chance to talk to him, but he wanted to kind of make his rounds, you know, because he wanted to start a Bigfoot in Indian country type deal. If we get a lot of reports, a lot of history, and there's oral history over the years and in generations of the Bigfoot, you know.
So,
that's crazy. That is just
since wild. You think okay, because you're talking about migration and that. I told Marty here, like, before you even talked, like 3-4 weeks ago, like, if you look at Cecha Hollow and you go to Google Earth, there's a route straight up from Cecha Hollow to the Canadian border,
right?
And there's like all they do is follow like the duck ponds, and it's like open territory, it's like waterfowl production areas, it's like goes straight up to Canada. I'm like, I can see them migrating through that route too, also,
and not a lot of people,
Yep, hardly any people, and a lot of reports I get East River are from the interstate.
What?
People traveling and along I-29.
No kidding.
I can't remember. There was a couple. I can't remember the towns, and I should have wrote them down.
Oh, that's fine.
A lot of people traveling through, and they look over, and then they see something dart out of the cornfield, and you know, run across to the other section of the the creek.
That just popped the story into my head. I got to tell you my story going down I-29. I was going from Watertown to South Shore, and that stretch there of I-29.
Yep.
And there's no cars. I-29 has like 5 cars every 10 hours on it. That's bad, folks.
Yeah.
When you get up
there at night.
Yeah. But I'm like, that night, I'm driving and I'm just tooling around. I'm going home. And I look in my rearview mirror, and there's there's no cars oncoming or any cars behind me. I look in my rearview mirror, and what I see is, like, in the ditch, the median between the north and south lanes, is like two glowing red eyes. I whip my head around, and I'm like, oh, wow. What the heck is this? I know I told you this story.
Yep.
And I'm like, I can see that, but on the opposite side of the road, there's two cornfields or shelter belts that have easy access to hide stuff.
Right.
Wow. Yep. In the earlier of my Bigfoot days, like I said, I hunted elk. And then behind my old property, I set out a trail camera. And I did catch some red glowing eyes in one of the pictures.
See, what do you think causes that in your opinion? Because you need a light source for stuff to glow. They call out self-illuminated. Yeah. What do you think causes that?
To be honest, I have no clue, because I know, like, foxes and bats and certain owls have, you know, red eyes when light shined on them.
Right.
In my case, the trail camera itself emitted that light, but it caught those two glowing eyes. And in the series of pictures, there's nothing in the camera view at all. But what I've noticed is way in the corner, you know, way back, probably 20, 30 yards, you see those glowing eyes. I don't know if a deer ran through there where it couldn't take a picture, but, you know, the next morning, and it's on my Facebook page, is which I'll present at the conference, but you'll see an elk run through there, big old 6x6 elk run through there.
Oh, wow.
And so I compared where those eyes were, you know, from the same camera, same picture. I compared where the elk is and where those eyes were, and it was about between 11 to 12 feet to 14 foot tall. It all depends on where it was standing.
Nope. Ain't doing that.
Wow.
Yeah. Because you can look in the picture. There's nothing there. I mean, there's laid down logs, but it's just a flat. You know,
I know exactly what picture you're talking about. Wow. So I've seen you post them on Facebook. I've seen them when you first posted them. I think I made the comment. I'm like, are you sure this isn't a deer? And you corrected me. It's like, nope. And then he told me the height. And I'm like, that makes sense now.
Right. Definitely not a deer.
No. Yeah.
Wow.
A deer can't be that tall. You know?
Yeah.
But usually when you shine the light on a deer, it's they glow green.
Yeah.
You
know?
Greener.
But these are red.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep, yeah, exactly.
Oh my god.
And
well, I know I heard you mention a conference, and that's another reason we wanted to get you on there, is because you have a Bigfoot conference coming up, the first one in South Dakota.
Yes.
Which me and Marty are very excited for.
Heck yeah.
On June 7th and 8th at Fort Randall Casino, correct?
Yes. Yes.
Heck yeah.
Promote the hell out of that, brother.
Yes, we are. And actually, the gentleman is a good friend of mine. And he asked me long ago about doing one of these things. I'm like, I wouldn't have no clue. I said, I can get up there and give all the presentations in a row. He said, right. No, they're gonna be doing that, all that stuff. That's their job. So
nice.
We give a shout out to Jim and his crew and their willingness to do this.
Oh, heck yeah.
It's gonna be interesting, because we're gonna have
Go ahead.
I'm gonna have presentations of all my findings. You know, I'll get that all together, and it'll be 3-4 hour thing. But I got the other tribal team, the Basie Nebraska team, the Res Sasquatch team, they're gonna come up and give a couple hour presentation. And to me, I think they're possibly the number one group in this country, with the stuff. And last year, I had an opportunity to go hang out with them for a weekend. We did an outing, and some of the things that I've seen and heard, and there's a video on it of that whole weekend there. And well, I was there. I might as well just tell the story.
Is that video on your YouTube channel?
Yep, it sure is.
Is that the one where it has the elderly looking gentleman, the skinny guy? I don't know how to explain it.
Yep.
Okay, I've seen that one. That's very interesting. I've seen the video.
Yeah, because where they're at is right on the Missouri River.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they have a group of them living there, and have been living there for years. And when I was, when I was an agent down there, we had reports of this, and I just didn't really follow up on that, I really didn't get into heavily, of researching, because, you know, being this and that. But once I retired, I got into it really heavy and said, hey, I got to go down there. So I did. And last year we went to that. We had their camp, and we were sitting up on this bluff, and they had some some people that were there as far as a UFO perspective, because it's open sky. And so, you know, they had a different amount of people that were there. And I was just there specifically what I could catch for Bigfoot. And we were sitting there. We had a little campfire going and just listening to it, and listening to the earth. You can hear the river down below and this and that. And way off in the distance, you can hear a tree get pushed down. And it's like, and I got it recorded, but it's so faint because it's so far away, which I just like, all right, it's time. And we sat there and I was like, get ready. And one of the persons that's on their team I used to be her boss. So it was like, it's get ready. It's go time, you know? And so we're sitting there and I'm trying to run like three different devices, because I do have like a parabolic dish. I have an actual, you know, digital voice recorder, you know, just going all the time. And I have my iPad, which has a thermal, a little FLIR adapter you could put on there. And I use that, you know, to scan the woods. And while I was getting that stuff together, a rock comes flying in between us. I mean, ooh. It's not real close, but it's like between me and her. And we're sitting at the edge of this corner. And I'm like, oh, shit. And when that happened, I'm like, no, oh, this can't be. So I got, you know, you could see in some of the footage where I take that thermal and I compare it to the engines of the truck. And you can see how hot it is. And I'm going back and forth and trying to mix out something, you know, these trees and stuff is so dense. I mean, if you walked in, you couldn't see yourself, you know, on a thermal, but you could see where heat residual, you know, on the trees and stuff. And I was scanning and I look over and you could see something standing next to your tree. It had been like 8 foot tall. Wow. And you could barely see it through. It is through the trees. So it's giving off enough body heat where you could just see the edge of it. And I tell the guy who's running the thing, I said, hey, look at this. I'm going to show you this. He said, look at the trucks. You can see how hot they are. And you can see the outlines of them. And look at the trees. You don't see anything until you see that right next to a tree.
Oh, my God.
They said, tell me what you see there. And he's like, oh, shoot. And they have a different – he has a different perspective on, you know, what these things are. And they go over and they do their thing. And, you know – you could tell in one of the videos that one of the women were scared and they actually grabbed onto me and I said, just relax, you know, don't panic, don't do anything.
Yeah,
and just sit there and just watch. And so there was a lot of people watching me watch that because I had my iPad, you know, and it's just showing that little thing. And after a while, it just kind of faded into the trees and we never saw it again. And we just packed up and got out of there. And we just said, hey, we... thank you for letting us see you or whatnot.
Right.
Get out of here. Yeah.
We've done our job. We're going to go. Leave you be.
See, that's like a lot. Like I have friends up here. They go deer hunting and that. There's a few guys that go out to the Black Hills and hunt from on the East River here. And they make fun of me. I'm like, they make fun of me in nature because they're like, oh, I'm like, hey, if you go out there and you see Bigfoot, tell me. Because they're like, oh, it's not out there. I'm like, they don't quite understand. Me and Marty both are on the same wavelength, and probably you are too. These things are a lot smarter than what we get them credit for. They've been around since the very beginning, and they're just really, really smart.
Yeah, just like what I tell deer hunters. You know, you go out there, and it's hard for them to see a deer. Just imagine a deer is just a small brain animal that they have their master at camouflage.
Right.
Just think what, you know, these Bigfoot can do. You know, just with the hair, he just laid out, and you'll never see him ever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you put some intelligence and cunning behind that ability.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's very easy to believe they can hide wherever.
I tried to explain to him, like, no, this is some Harry and the Hendersons, that scene where they let Harry back out into the woods. And all of a sudden, you see Harry walk by this tree and this stump, and they're like, oh, okay. He's going the way. And all of a sudden, the stump and the tree move because they're so well camouflaged and they're so adapt to their environment.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That's just wild.
Definitely.
Oh, so I heard you mentioned about you were working with a UFO group, or you're have friends in that? Have you ever seen any UFOs in the out there?
I've seen a lot of strange things. I recorded a lot of them. They're on my YouTube channel too, Bigfoot South Dakota. I mean, seeing some lights out there. But I've, you know, on one of my videos that where I seen, it could be Bigfoot, it could be an elk, it could be anything. But I saw brown hair, brown fur. Well, at our, one of our outings. And what we like to do is, well, how I started, you know, after listening to all these stories, you know, on Sasquatch Chronicles, on the confessionals, you know, all these stories, every story, Bigfoot story starts out while we were camping, while we were doing this, while we were, stationary. So instead of us running out in the woods and taking all this footage, I'm like, why don't we just stay and do this? And the first weekend we did, I caught something on camera.
Wow.
And it, in there, you know, and it what I, you know, trained my guys to do, if something happens, hey, you grab the thermal, you grab this, you grab the night vision, you know, everybody has a job. Yeah. But every 15 minutes, what we do, you know, we sit around the campfire, we just talk and talk. But about every 15 minutes, we do a sweep of the location with the flashlight to catch eye shine.
Yep.
And when I did that, a set of eyes, they were like, kind of a greenish, kind of yellow, you know, it just kind of like ducked behind the some trees. And when you flash a deer or a cougar or something, they're just going to stare straight at you. But I've never had anything duck on you. So I got my thermal camera together and I was like, I know exactly where it's at. So I look in there and you can see something in the tree line. And I tried to lighten it up, darken it up, but I didn't, what I didn't do was turn on the infrared. I mean, it was just so, it's just night vision camera. And all you see is just the trees in there. And you see it move out of the way, you know, move into one of the bare spots of the trees. And what I saw with my naked eye, you know, through the scope was brown fur or brown hair. And that's all I could see through the spots. But in the actual video footage, all you see is a black thing move through the tree line. And so at that same time, I noticed on the video that there's actually an orb coming straight towards the camera. And I really didn't, you know, catch that until way later. But we went up there, you know, the next day to that area and could see where something was sitting down, laying down, and, you know, walking around in that area and just kind of left.
Man,
we didn't find any.
You are hitting all the questions I want to ask before I even ask it. Orbs, we're going to go on that route now. Because a lot of people consider that like the woo factor. But what's your opinion on those?
You know, I have no one of my friends just told me, he told me a joke. He said, yeah, orbs are just ghost farts. And I'm like, oh, it could be because it's spiritual. Right. You know, it could be spiritual. But during that same time, because the orbs that we seen it was only by camera. It wasn't by our naked eye. We've never seen any of those yet.
Okay.
You know, people say they see them, but we haven't.
Right.
But during that same time, there was a lot of paranormal activity that was going on. The place we were at had no electricity to the street lights. I mean, there was nothing. It's never been on the 8 years those people lived there, and which is one of our team members. It had never been on this and that. We heard these howls. I mean, we have a lot of howls that I didn't catch on audio, but I do have a lot that's on the YouTube channel, and they're part with videos. And one of these howls came through, and it's just so hard to like try to time it where you're going to put the parabolic dish, because I don't have the fancy stuff where you could just, you know, put it up and start recording. I have a little process to do, you know, turn on the digital recorder, put it in your earpiece, you know, and then point the parabolic dish.
We know the struggle. We know the struggle.
Yeah, exactly. Because everything we do, it's out of our pocket. I mean,
oh yeah,
you know, nobody pays us to do this, but it's just our interest is that great where, you know, people buy, you know, baseball cards for this their whole life. No, we go out and look for a Bigfoot. We take time. And,
right.
You know, we all get together and go do something. You know, we spend our own money. But during this time, you know, there was a howl that I didn't catch, you know, but we're putting the stuff down. In that meantime, of that howl, that street light came on.
Oh.
And it kind of concerned everybody that was there.
Yeah. Interesting.
You know, in the same area. And it was like, never seen that before, but we got pictures of it where it came on and, you know, this and that. It was like,
Marty, that's not, that was during that howl. Sorry, Chris. Marty, that's not interesting. That's scary.
Wow.
That's not interesting.
Yeah, it is scary. Yeah. And another time we were in that same spot, we could hear tapping, but we couldn't figure out what it was. And on back of the one of the team members' window, you know, we drove it driving down dirt roads and they all got a dusty. There's little tiny fingerprints.
Oh, you that's know, crazy.
That on the back of the window. Like,
oh, man, that is wild.
Now, what do you mean by tiny fingerprints?
Like something tapping. You know how to take a, if you touch a, something dust, you just see the fingerprints. Like little, these were like little kid fingerprints. Oh, and it's a, you know, judging from any kids, you know, if you're probably like about, maybe 6-7 years old, you're not going to have that big of a hand, wow. You know, and where these fingerprints were way above that anybody could reach, jeez. You know, and it was like, we were listening to this for about, we were listening to this for about 2 hours. You're like, what is that noise? You know, wow. Blah, blah. And so we go over there and check. And one of the team members said, oh man, do you see this? I'm like, yeah, I do. So we took pictures of that. And I'm not into the paranormal, but, I can say, you know, I've heard a lot of things, seen a lot of things, right. You know, being a patrolman, I'm like, yeah, that's weird.
That shouldn't happen. But I think if you get drawn into this Bigfoot field, it starts gravitating towards you.
Right.
It just does, yeah, because definitely. Since I've been doing this and Marty's been doing it, I don't know about him, but personally, last summer I was out camping at Pelican State Park, and I've been looking my whole life for like UFOs and that. And I seen the weirdest stuff in the sky when you're out camping. And I got Marty, I showed him pictures, and there's a really weird sound I heard for like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, once you start looking into this, it starts looking back at you, I think, a lot of this.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, sometimes too, you're going in some of these same circles, and a lot of these beliefs kind of overlap, at least the fans of them and people that are interested. So, yeah, it's you kind of do end up kind of getting a eclectic group of people that you start associating with, and kind of it's cool. It's like, okay, here's my focus, here's these guys' focus, we're all out here watching because all these things happen out here, and that's just really cool to see, you know.
Oh yeah Speaking of UFOs, I remember in the early 90s these people were coming from Oklahoma, and they were coming to visit somebody in the Mission area. But when they crossed the state line, South Dakota, you know, the casino was there, and they were actually videotaping it. And you could see them when they come across, and then the videotape shuts off, and it turns back on. And what they caught was a UFO in broad daylight. This was in the afternoon.
Oh, wow.
Was going, you know, coming straight down, I mean, real low to the ground, and it was coming straight for them. As they're driving north, it's coming from the west towards them. And the thing, you know, must have seen their car or something, but you could see where it just kind of like tilted and disappeared in less than a frame of a second.
Wow.
Back then it was VCRs.
Oh, yeah.
Back then it was VCRs, right? Mm-hmm. So we knew one person had a forehead VCR, which you could stop it frame by frame. Yep. And me and four other police officers, we looked at that thing for, had to been 6-7 hours just analyzing everything. And it literally looked like a top. Looked like a top with little circles at the bottom of it.
No kidding.
What we think it was, you know, a UFO coming and stealing electricity off the wire, highlighting the wire. Hmm. You know, it was coming along. It was like you could see it. It was like wobbling, and it kind of sees them and kind of goes up, and it just faces one way, and it just disappears in the sky. And it's clear footage, most clear footage I've ever seen on the UFO.
That's wild.
Watched that the whole night. We watched that the whole night. And then the next day, we got a copy of the tape. And then next thing you know, the tape disappeared. I don't know if somebody still has it. Or even, I don't know if anybody still has a VCR. I know.
I keep one in backup just for oddball things I come across.
Go ahead. Well, I know that you brought up Sasquatch Chronicles, and he's had people be on there before. So about the Bigfoot, like they have the two guys come in. The one's like, it looks like a lumberjack. The other guy looks like a guy in a suit. Have you ever had any incidents where people have talked about those type of people? Like nefarious government type, let's say.
No. Yeah, that's what I asked, you know, because I worked at the FBI. I never had anything like that, you know. I don't know of any such agency. I don't know if it's just what people put out there, but,
right.
You know, for me, being retired in law enforcement, they can come threaten me all day. I know what I need to do, you know, basically. But if no one has ever, you know, I know a lot of things. I've seen a lot of things that people have, but I can't publish them because that's upon their request, but they wanted me to see it. Right. You know, I got videos, you know, of Bigfoot, you know, in a snowstorm, you can actually see the physical tracks and the thing moving. Oh, and geez. the guy won't let me publish it.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of things. A lot of people tell me a lot of UFO stories, but they don't want to publish it.
Right.
You know, every gas station I go to, if I see a delivery man early in the morning, something, I question him, because one of the Bigfoot reports was down in the South Central area, or actually it was east of Charles Mix, I think, where the delivery man, you know, saw Bigfoot cross in front of him on the highway early morning. Wow. You know, along the river. And so all these delivery men, I asked him, hey, have you ever seen anything? And all they report is UFOs. No, I see this weird shit, you know. Yep, I see this weird stuff over here in the cornfield. And it's mostly in cornfields. You know, it's flying over.
Yeah, it's just rampant around here. Like corn, it's an easy place for them to hide. And it's like, why else would you not use the cover to your advantage?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one thing.
I had people fishing and say a UFO come out of the water, you know. I'm like, whoa. That ever happened when I was fishing. I said, you could have left me some fish. you gotta take, you know, take every story with, you know, I listen to everybody. I don't put anybody down.
Right.
I just want to listen to the story.
Yeah.
And whatever they wanted me to publish it. Somewhere. Yep. Yes.
There's always some sort of grain. It's just like, there's something, they saw something, what it is, they may not know, and they're just using context for what they do know.
Right.
So.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So I have to ask a question. You're in Needles, and you've been out there before. And I found a report for a dog man. Have you ever heard of dog man in your travels?
Yes. Just the one I reported, and from other team members had a report out of Cheyenne River. And the first one is actually a friend of mine he was out by Mount Rushmore. Surveying, you know, for the Forest Service, actually contracted by the Forest Service to go survey. It was him and three other guys that were out there and just walking. And I surveyed with him before, and he knows I'm a Bigfoot guy, you know, big, you know, I always tell him, watch out for this and that. And he had some good audio that we couldn't really retrieve out of Montana, out of the big mountains on Montana, you know, Bigfoot. And I told him it might be a grizzly bear too, you know. Got to be careful, but he knows. So when he was out there, he noticed, you know, he heard something following him, and it was off to his left, and then the guys are right to the right, you know, 50 meters off to the right, and right of him is another 50 meters the other guy, but he's on the end, and he heard this thing, you know, something was following him. So he was like, he's really traditional and superstitious, and he's like, I don't want to turn around and see anything. So what he did was put his camera up and just kept taking pictures behind him. He'd just stop and take pictures, or he'd take a step and take pictures. And that's the picture I got posted on there, and that's what he sent me. That this thing standing had been about a good 7 foot tall, you know, next to the tree, and it looks like a gigantic dog. Ugh. You know, you just see the outline of it. And it said it scared the hell out of him, and luckily that was his last day of serving in the hills. He said next time he goes, he's unpacking a gun. I don't care what my boss says.
You know? Right. I think, honestly, but I would be more creeped out by flashing pictures behind me and then seeing the picture that something was there than actually just turning around and looking at it.
Yeah, he didn't look at the pictures until he got to the hotel room. He didn't look at them.
That's probably
good. What he got. He yeah, because he probably would have freaked out.
Oh, you know? I would. That's wild.
Oh, yeah. It's just
freshly that. I would have been screaming and running. What is that?
I'm unarmed in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Nope.
I'd run to the next surveyor and say, "Hey, take my spot."
right.
See, but I find it also very interesting. I've been infatuated with Bigfoot since since fifth grade, ever, maybe.
Yeah.
And I'm 53 years old.
Right.
And I'm like...
The what movie?
No, I've been infatuated with Bigfoot since I was probably like in fifth grade. And I'm 53 years old right today.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, all my family and I lovingly have made fun of me the whole time.
Right.
But I'm like, I have to ask this question. For all the research out there, no matter what, do you think it's even possible to catch one of these creatures?
Ooh, yes, I think it is. And I think they've done it before. I don't know if you guys listened to the podcast of Sasquatch Chronicles when he talked about, I think it's called Deathbed Confessions. And yep, that really stuck in my mind.
North Dakota. Because,
yeah, well, I think it's on the border here of Little Eagle because it's right on the South Dakota and North Dakota border. And that was during that same time frame where all that stuff was going with the
Virgil Bordello or whatever. We had an episode on him. We did one on a Little Eagle.
Yep. And there's stuff that's still happening there to this day, you know. And I got a team member up there that a good reporter, and we just need to get up there and do some, because there's some stuff on ceremonial ground that, you know, certain people can't go into, but they want us to go in there, and we can't take any electronics in there. Like, I'll get a recording. So, well, we're just gonna see meet face to face, I suppose, you know.
Yeah.
But I was in contact with somebody that actually might have those casts from back in the 70s. Still have them.
The last I heard about those casts, because when I during the 80s, I know that's a long time ago.
Right, when we were young.
I actually got a hold of his son or something, I think, and I called where they're at, and they said, from what I was told, I don't know if it's truth or not, but what I was told was that the plaster cast that they had made from Little Eagle had actually disintegrated. Or in
really?
Terrible condition, they were no longer usable. This was during the 80s.
Yeah, well, this might be just pictures of them.
Okay.
Or something that was in the box. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was during that time. And so I'll go back to your question that if they could be captured, what that guy was saying, that, yeah, they actually captured two of these things and killed them both, you know.
Oh, wow.
And it's a possibility, you know. And the guy, you know, I did some mad research for about a month looking up the sheriffs during that time, you know, of Wyoming, Montana, South Dakota, North Dakota, who could have been that sheriff that reported that. And I looked and looked and looked, and I couldn't find anything. But if it's possible, yeah, it probably have to be an elite team to do it, you know, with a lot of tranquilizers and different things. Because there's so much technology out there with all the – and I'm sure they see them, you know, with the Hubble telescope or whatnot, you know, on Google Earth. You know, the military, I'm pretty sure they've seen them over and over. So I hear a lot of stories from them, you know, seeing them on thermal with all the – awesome thermal footage, and so you know it's just a matter of time.
Siva, do you think the government would actually let something like that get out? I mean, like out. I don't mean like release it, but like get out in the public. Would they actually allow that to happen, or would they just make like they did with the UFO flaps during the 70s? Oh, you're just crazy, and that.
Yeah, exactly.
Are they going to do the same thing to them people actually before they actually have to let?
I think they slowly. Been letting it out, but I think what they're afraid of is being sued, that they knew about these things and, you know, people go missing all the time. But, you know, I was back in the 70s, you know, the Army, even the Corps of Engineers put out, you know, that beware of Sasquatch in this area, you know, and nobody knew exactly what it was, you know, but Bigfoot, you know, being part of a manual. But I'm sure they know that these things exist.
Right.
And they're just, I think they're afraid to say, hey, whatever, you know, because they think it's could be like going back into the I remember way back when they had that owl in the tree and all the tree huggers and got mad and they just shut like down and had a preservation.
Yeah.
Well, see, one thing about with Bigfoot, you know, I don't think you have to worry about that because they know how to survive. You don't need all that extra protection. They do it on themselves, you know.
Yeah, they've done pretty well.
Waiting on that. Yes.
Without us.
Over the years, for hundreds of years.
Right.
Hundreds of years.
Oh man, that's wild though. But yeah, no, I could see that. Yeah, that's it. Whenever it comes to government, money is really the bottom line of what they're looking at.
Yeah,
and not every wanting to give it away from somebody, an activist raising a fuss out somewhere. it's easier to just pretend it's not there.
Yeah.
It's like, no, there's nothing. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
What? Yeah, matter of fact, that just popped in my mind. Remember you're talking about the Secha Hollow that goes all up to North Dakota?
Yep. Yeah.
There was a news report out of Ellendale, North Dakota, during January, a couple of Januaries ago, and it's a news story. This guy, you know, he was tracking Bigfoot for like 7 miles, but he couldn't go any further.
Wow.
In that same area the next year, actually that spring, my archaeology team got sent out west of Ellendale in the hills, and it's flat. How East River is so flat, but it comes down to this point where it's gigantic hills. I mean, and they were putting wind turbines up at that time. And so that was a good opportunity, and I ran into that report. I said, oh, good. We can look around and whatever areas, because we had, you know, had to survey hundreds of miles, you know, for all these towers to go up, and we have to surround the, wherever they're going to put them, we have to do the surrounding area of it, and that's doing a pedestrian survey, just walking. And in that place, I found two sets of different tracks, you know, in the middle of a field where cows were, inside of cow poop.
Wow.
Two different, you know, foot tracks. And those are on the site itself. So that kind of, you know, confirmed it. Why would anybody be walking out here in the middle of nowhere, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But they were, you know, they were footprints, but you couldn't tell if they were Sasquatch or human. But why would somebody be out there walking with cows, you know?
Mm-hmm. Especially walking in cow poop.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, your normal person is going to try to avoid stepping in that.
I grew up on a dairy farm. Yes, we avoided all the cow poop. Right.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to walk in. That's pretty much what we did when we surveyed too, but it was during, you know, the springtime where they're kind of hard right now.
Yeah.
When you step on a cow patty and you roll your ankle,
then it's a different story. No, because I remember Ellendale, North Dakota story. I remember when it was like 3-4 years ago it came out, and they actually had pictures. Like, it was like basically the typical inline footprints of this. The news people, if I remember right, said, oh, it's just a jackrabbit. I'm like, jackrabbits don't go in a line for 7 miles.
Yeah.
Miles.
The great horned owl that's in the tree next to it will eat it.
Yeah. And I was up there for 2 months, and I at the local gas station, I asked if that guy was around. I left my number there, and he never did contact me, but I really wanted to talk to him, you know, to see if he was around, and told him that I had found prints up there and got pictures, but there was nothing that was really castable.
Yeah.
Actually, one of the footprints we did tear out the ground with the cow pie in it. You know, we cut it out, and it was up at the Standing Rock Game Fish and Parks, and they were going to try to cast it and see if there was any DNA on it, but I haven't seen it since. So
that's another thing too, DNA. What's your take on that? Because if you actually had legit Bigfoot DNA, they would never tell you, I don't think. I don't think they'd be able to determine what it is.
Yeah, but, you know, I follow the what is it, the Savonic Project out west.
Never heard of it.
And they what's it called?
The Olympic Project?
Oh, I can't remember that project. The Olympic Project, there you go.
The Olympic
You know, they have they do have a lot of DNA, and they used, of course, Dr. Melba Kalchum, and they sent all these to different labs, didn't tell them what it was, and they all came with the same conclusion that part of it is part human, and the other one is unknown. The parental father is unknown. The mother's paternal is human, partially human, but, you know, like chimps and other animals are part human too, but it's not enough to be human.
So. See, because we were at a Bigfoot conference in Grand Rapids, Minnesota, like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And Melba Ketchum.
And I was going to go to that one too.
It was actually really good. We had a guy we did an interview with, Jay, and he has things going on his property in northern Minnesota there. And that was a really good interview. This one is a really good interview too, but someone brought up Melba Ketchum. Yeah, that did not go well with a few of the speakers.
Yeah, they kind of lost it on that.
Yeah,
we were like, oh, I can't believe they just asked that, because a couple of them, it's like we knew their opinions on it, and it was kind of fun to just watch the blow up.
Yeah, exactly. But the thing is that she's the scientist, and the other speakers are probably not genetic scientists.
Well, this so, actually, but, you know, the, which Jeff Meldrum did not like her at all.
Yeah. No, Meldrum has a great deal of hatred.
See, but I think the whole thing with him, because he was going on, it's like she brought in the religious aspect of it.
Right, and that's what made him.
Oh, okay. You know, that's probably what it is.
Yeah, it's not the science part. It's the religion aspect of it. Or the woo factor, as he called it.
Right. And I'm okay with it as long as you're still pulling up solid science along with it. I don't care how much woo you drag out, man, as long as there's still some solid science there.
Yep. And science is the one that's going to be proven, but somebody has to step up. And, and definitely, there's going to be a body. And I could tell you for this that, you know, how they had, like, buried giants and stuff that a long time ago, and they disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
The archaeology group I was with, they actually had, I ain't going to say which group it is because they'll know exactly what I'm talking about. But along the river, they have a lot of bones that come out of the, you know, as erosion goes down, and there's a lot of human remains of all the tribes before Buffalo, a lot of caches, and, you know, you can find it all up and down the river, all the way down to, you know, where it meets the Missouri or the Mississippi.
Mississippi, yep.
And in this certain area, they actually had, and they couldn't find the other bones, but washed up was they call it a red ogre, and the skull was so big. Is probably big as a medicine ball.
Oh my gosh.
And, you know, they had it and then they did it a traditional burying of it and they put it in an unknown location. But the five people that was with my group, they all witnessed it. And they told me, they said it was a giant. You know, it was a giant. So I'm pretty sure that was. And I couldn't believe it. And they described, every one of them described how big it was, and I just couldn't believe, you know, I'm sitting there picturing a medicine ball. I'm like, holy smokes. That's huge. Gosh.
Yeah, see, that's another one of those topics I think is real. And there's been a lot of very concerted disappearances and cover-ups of proof of giants.
Oh, yes.
It's definitely.
That is crazy as heck.
Well, we got the hairless Sasquatch that comes and visits us every once in a while. Yeah,
he's pretty close to
it. That's my brother. He's 7'1". And I'm like, there's proof of the giants right there. It's my brother. He's 7'1". We call him the hairless Sasquatch.
One of my first special agent partners, he was 7 foot. But he would tell everybody he's 6'12". And try to ride in the car with that guy. He was just huge.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you can just imagine.
I have to ask this question. It's kind of a personal question. Did your partner that was 6'12", did he have a really small car?
No.
See, he couldn't fit. My brother is totally opposite.
He could barely fit in the ones that he had a gigantic Buick, and he could barely fit in.
Wow.
My brother has like a Ford Escort or something.
Yeah.
Oh my god!
And he loves it. He just likes that compact feeling.
So do I. I'm a big fatty, and I like little cars too. That's just me.
Oh wow! I can imagine he just reached out the passenger window just to adjust the mirror.
Right. That's no kidding. That is pretty accurate.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's wild that they found that. That's insane. Not super surprising to me because it's like they. To me, there has to be proof of that stuff out there. There are a lot of stories of them disappearing as soon as certain places get involved with investigating, and all of a sudden, there's nothing there. We didn't find anything. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
We've got all these people that said this is what they dug up.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
The Smithsonian's our arch-enemy.
Yeah, right. And just the sheer amount of stories from First Nations of different fights with these tribes of giants. Like they can't all be making up the same story. You know what I mean? They're all over the country with different stories of the same race.
You know,
you can't be telling me they're all coming up with the same story, but.
Yeah. It's with my Sioux culture and in my Klamath culture out in Oregon, they got, you know, the same beast, the same stories, but up there in Oregon, you know, with the Klamath tribe, Klamath Modoc tribe, I mean, they pretty much own Crater Lake and that area.
Oh, yeah.
So those stories go way back.
Yeah.
And, you know, to hear them all, and they don't let anybody go on there in big research, but
right.
My mom was a predominant tribal member up there, so the tribal president, he said, if I ever come down, you can Bigfoot time anytime.
Oh,
you
got to
watch
nice.
Who you take with you,
oh,
and
yeah,
you get
yeah.
permission, you know.
Yep.
So I was like, oh, that's well respected, and, you know, me, I went to Crater Lake a couple of times, and I'm like, wow, this place is just so huge, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Anything could be anywhere and just hide, and there's so many missing people around that area.
Right.
It's like, wow. And every time I hear stories of that area, I'm like, oh, I don't want if that ever happens to me, I think I found my, you know, I found the evidence.
Right, I'm right. done.
I think a lot of people have found the evidence. That's why they've gone missing.
Right. Yeah, you get up into that area, and that woods up there is just a whole different world, man. It is so
oh, definitely
thick and unreal.
Well, I had a science teacher. He was from Washington when I was in high school, and he was originally from Washington area. So I asked him about Bigfoot, you know, and he's like, "It's possible because the undergrowth is so thick up there." He says he's walked by grizzly bears that didn't want anything to do with him, and he didn't know till after he passed it, and the grizzly bear stood up like no more than 5 feet from him.
Yeah,
it's like
wow.
So, yeah, he's like. He's like, I basically pooped his pants, he said. But he said, it's so thick up there, you can walk by something that large, and if it doesn't want to be seen, it does not want to be seen. It won't be seen.
Right. Yeah, I was watching these guys, I think it's called Selick Bigfoot or whatever on YouTube, and they actually walked past the cabin. They walked past it, and as they were walking the other way, and they almost passed it again. And the guy looked over, he said, I can't believe we just missed the whole cabin just 5 feet in front of us,
wow.
you know, because it's so thick.
Yeah.
That's unreal.
And the only thing we have out thick that's out here in the West East River is buck brush. That's the only thick stuff we got.
Yeah.
That's nasty.
Heck yeah.
Well, Chris.
Yeah, because I had a Yes.
Why do you promote where your conference is at and let's get that out there, promote your YouTube channel. And let's
Yes, definitely.
Go ahead. Floor is yours.
Yes. Yeah. You can find me at Bigfoot South Dakota on Facebook and on YouTube. Just Bigfoot South Dakota. June 7th and 8th, we'll be down at Fort Randall Casino. There'll be my team doing presentations. We're figuring that Friday night we might have a little outing on their reservation there. Just going out and listening and see what we can find from there, because there's a lot of stories from that area when I went and did a show down there. The 8th would be that Saturday. We're going to have conferences all day and then question and answers. But there will also be another team from Mesa, Nebraska. The Res Sasquatching group will be coming doing their presentations, and they're really well at doing what they have a lot of good evidence. And it's just unreal that it's just, they're not that far, and it's along the river, like I said.
Yep. Well, what we're going to do here, Chris, we're definitely going to have you back on again before then. We're going to definitely have you back.
Oh, definitely.
So
I think I only had half of my stories done. So,
well, if you want to keep going, keep going, brother. Keep going.
We can do another episode.
All right, let's do that. Yeah, let's have another part. We'll have a part two here.
Right, we have maybe leading up right before conference and everything kicks up, kind of another big
we
boost
do that.
Of like,
oh,
hey,
yeah,
we're doing
definitely going to do that. So.
Yeah, I'm super psyched for this, man. This is going to be fun.
All right, we're going to mute your mic for a little bit, and then we'll talk off air if that's all right.
Okay, no problem.
All right. Well, I'm sorry, but we got to have him out for part two. So
yeah, no, absolutely.
All right, folks, you know the routine. Remember, normals never won anything. Bye.